Okay, open your Bibles tonight to Malachi chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 16. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's Word. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this prophecy of Malachi. We thank you tonight that though we have looked now for several times at the rebellion, at the defiance of some in Israel. Thank you tonight that we can look at those who were believing and rejoice with them. Thank you tonight too that this passage can serve for us to motivate us to be discerning. May it accomplish that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Malachi chapter 3, we do come to a believing remnant. Chapter 3, verse 16 begins with the word then. That puts verse 16 in a relationship of contrast to the preceding verses, 13 through 15. And remember, we did take time again to review the 10 rebellious questions throughout the book. We've covered those now. And then we have also noted the arrogant, defiant speech of some of those who did not fear the Lord. So this believing remnant at the beginning of verse 16 is in contrast to those who have been defiant against the Lord and have not feared him. So we're coming now to the whole point of the book of Malachi. There is a distinction, and we need to see it. So remember, we won't look at all the verses we've looked at in previous weeks, but remember chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord said, "You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'How have we wearied him?' In that you say, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he who delights in them.' Or where is the God of justice. Defiant, questioning words against God. If you recall in chapter 3, verse 5, Messiah at his second coming, coming in judgment, there's a list of those people who will be judged in verse 5. That includes, toward the end of verse 5, those who do not fear me. Those who do not fear the Lord will be judged. And verses 13 through 15 of chapter 3, your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. And we looked at that defiance last time. These messages of judgment come across as fairly heavy to us. That's why it's good now in the flow of Malachi to come here tonight to chapter 16. There are Israelite believers who feared the Lord. They believe. Those who feared the Lord at the beginning of verse 16. The fear of the Lord, it's actually demonstrated in a few ways throughout the book of Malachi. Chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. And if I am a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my respect? The word respect is the word fear. The fear of the Lord involves honoring and respecting him. That is what the Lord expects throughout this book. In chapter 2, verse 5, we saw my covenant was with him, that was with Levi, and it was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Reverence and awe are part of the fear of the Lord. And we haven't come to it yet, but in chapter 4, verse 2, for you who fear my name, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. There is promise, there is salvation to those who fear the Lord. Now, fearing the Lord is not what saved them. Faith saved them. But fearing the Lord both produces faith and results from faith. So these Israelite believers feared the Lord. They honored Him. They revered Him. They respected Him. At the beginning of verse 16, there's a great statement for believers. Then those who feared the Lord did what? They spoke to one another. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Wow, do you know if believers just did that? Just spoke to one another in the fear of the Lord. Do you know how much precious fellowship would be experienced? Yeah. Do you know how many issues and problems would be averted? Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. That is an expected outcome of faith. That's an expected outcome of worshipers, of people who fear God, that they will speak to one another. Now, this speaking to one another, we get some sense of it in what follows, because the next statement is, "And the Lord gave attention and heard it." The Lord gives attention to His people. And the Lord hears your conversations. He does. And what was happening here as these believers were speaking to one another, the Lord was pleased. He gave attention, He heard it, and He was pleased with what He heard. Now that's very different from what we were just reminded of in chapter 2, verse 17. Remember what's been going on throughout this book? Chapter 2, verse 17. "You have wearied the Lord with your words." The conversations among those who do not fear the Lord are not pleasing to the Lord. They wear Him out. They wear Him out. Their conversations about getting things turned around and backwards and all that, the Lord is wearied by that. But the Lord is pleased by the words of God-fearers when they speak to one another. So this is the believing remnant. It's very important in this book of Malachi. Malachi's been pointing out the sins and covenant violations of Israel all throughout this book. We've seen them. If that's all there was in this book, you would come away from it going, wow, this is really a book of judgment and bad news. Well, it is. But it's also a book of good news. It's also a gospel book. There is a believing remnant among Israel. And so we rejoice in that. Now the rest of this section down through verse 18, the end of chapter 3, it's interesting. In some Hebrew texts, there is no chapter 4. What there is chapter 3, verse 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. In other words, all of chapter 4 is included in chapter 3 in some of the Hebrew texts. But that's not the way it is in our English Bibles. So we're just following it that way. But for the rest of chapter 3, we're dealing now with this book of remembrance. So we're picking up at the middle now of verse 16. And the book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Now the purpose of this book, it's called a book of remembrance. A book of remembrance. Now, does the Lord have any trouble remembering his people? No, he's omniscient, isn't he? This is not the Lord saying, I better write it down or else I might forget some of them. No, the book of remembrance is a display of the Lord's omniscient love for his people. He loves these so much that he makes sure they're recorded in a book of remembrance that was written before him, so that he can keep that before him. And yeah, it is a remembrance, but not to help God remember, but to show that he does. He loves his people. It's a book of remembrance, and it was written, verse 16 still says, it was written before him. It's always before him. Now, this is fairly interesting and important. Was written, you can get it a little bit from your translation in your Bible. It was written. But the point here is, it's not, well, when the Lord heard these people talking, then he wrote their names in this book. No, they were already written in the book. It was written. We could probably say, and a book of remembrance had already been written before him. It is for his presence before him. It was written. Now, what is this book, the book of remembrance. And there are a number of books spoken of throughout the Bible. We need to look at some of these and then kind of compare those with the context of what we're reading here in Malachi. You might remember Moses in Exodus 32:32. Moses said that if you're not going to forgive these people, blot my name out of your book which you have written. Now, Moses indicated that the Lord wrote this book. Here in Malachi, it doesn't tell us who wrote it. It just says that it had been written and that this is the Lord of hosts speaking, could imply that angels, the hosts, were involved in writing this, or the Lord himself. But it doesn't really sound in verse 16 like the Lord himself wrote it. It sounds like it was written before him and someone else was doing it. So perhaps this is being recorded by angels. We don't know. We're not told. But Moses talked about a book which the Lord had written, and that book was a register of people who were alive at the time. It was a register of the living. So when Moses said, blot my name out of the book, that was Moses saying, kill me. You know, Lord, if you're not going to fulfill this and forgive them and answer this prayer, just kill me. Well, that's not what happened, and the Lord did forgive. But that's what Moses said. So right away, do not get any idea, when Moses said, blot my name out of your book, which you've written, that doesn't have anything to do with Moses' salvation or anybody else's salvation. Okay? The name of a believer cannot be blotted out of the salvation book. But it can be blotted out of the registry of those who are alive right now. And that's what Moses was talking about. So there's that book. That doesn't seem to fit the context of what we're talking about in Malachi. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3, and actually if you read the whole section, you'll see in Isaiah 4, Isaiah is talking about the blessings of the coming millennial kingdom. And Isaiah says that there were those who were written for life in Jerusalem. Written for life in Jerusalem in the Messianic kingdom. Isaiah 4 is not about heaven. It's about the millennial kingdom. written for life in Jerusalem. There's some kind of record in which people are written, they are recorded, and they will be the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the coming kingdom. Now, as we'll see, what Isaiah says fits our context very well. We'll come back to that, but it fits our context here in Malachi very well. Also, Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Daniel said, and he's speaking of Israel, of Jewish people in the second half of the coming tribulation period. And it says, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. That book is a book that talks about those who will be rescued from the tribulation and will enter into the millennial kingdom. We could say the book that Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah chapter 4 and the book of that Daniel speaks of in Daniel 12:1 are probably the same book. It's a book of those who will be in Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom in a time to come. So both Isaiah and Daniel have a lot to do with our context here. Now, you'll recall that David spoke about books also in Psalm 56, verse 8. David talks about his wanderings being recorded, his tears being saved in a bottle, and all of this being recorded in your book, in the Lord's book. Now, what David is talking about there is a book that is an account of life's details. And this is for David as a believer. All of David's wanderings, his tears, his heartbreaks, those who turned against him, all of those things are recorded. And David is indicating that means those things are important to the Lord. The details of your life as a believer are important to God. You know, just about the time you start to think, hey, Lord, over here, look at me, you missed something, something slipped by. Remember David, and remember that nothing slipped by the Lord. In Psalm 69, verse 28, David is talking about unsaved people, about wicked people. And in Psalm 69, verse 28, it uses the phrase blotted out there as well. But the point of that is that the unsaved were not recorded in that book, and David refers to it as the book of life. That is the book of the saved. The saved are recorded in that book. It's the book of life. The unsaved are not recorded in it. Blotted out doesn't mean they were in and then they got erased. It means they weren't recorded there. So, the book of life, and of course that appears in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, and let's just keep our place in Malachi and look at Revelation for a moment. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 5. He who overcomes, that is every believer. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now there is no implication in Revelation 3:5 that a believer's name could ever be erased from the book of life. There's no implication to that effect at all. There is a promise in Revelation 3:5 that the believer's name will not be erased. This is a promise. This isn't a threat. Oh, your name could get erased. No, it can't. If you're saved, it can't be erased. And Jesus promises that it will not be erased. So this is the book of life, the book of salvation. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. There are names of believers who were written in the book of life before creation, before the foundation of the world. There are unsaved people whose names were not written in the book of life even before creation. Those people will never be saved. So this book of life is the book of salvation. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. This is the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Notice several of them, books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So, the book of life, the book of salvation, that book is opened at the great white throne judgment. There are other books that are referred to there that are the books of their deeds. The deeds, the actions, the works of unsaved people are also all being recorded in books. And they will be judged according to the things that are in those books to determine their level of torment and punishment in the lake of fire forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So they don't go to the lake of fire because of their deeds. They go to the lake of fire because they were never saved. Their name was not found in the book of life. They were never saved. And their eternal punishment is the lake of fire. Now, the book of life, whether it's in Psalm 69, or whether it's in Revelation, it's very important, but that also does not really seem to be the book that Malachi is talking about. The book that Malachi is talking about seems to be the book of those who will be rescued from the tribulation and will enter into the millennial kingdom. So that is the purpose of this book of remembrance. And it is to honor God. It was written before him, verse 16, for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. It was written before him. This is for the honor of God. Again, it's not because God is forgetful. It's this, perhaps even by angels, who worship God, who bring honor to him, before him. So that at least gets us started thinking about the purpose of this book of remembrance. Now, the very end of verse 16, the contents of this book. This book is a listing of those who fear the Lord. Are they believers? Well, yes. Are they saved? Yes. And they fear the Lord. This is a book beyond the book of life. Not just for those who are in the book of life. This book of remembrance lists those who fear the Lord. And it lists those who esteem his name. They hold his name high. They speak his name in awe and reverence. In chapter 4, verse 2, for you who fear my name, they fear the name of the Lord, they honor, they reverence the name of the Lord. You know, I'm always disappointed, and yet it happens quite often among those who say that they're saved, and yet I never hear them say the name Jesus. How can you be saved and not say Jesus? How can that be? How can you not be in awe of the name of the Lord? How can you not say His name? And so this book of remembrance is a listing of those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. Now, the uses of this book. And in verse 17, we see the uses of this book by the Lord Himself, by the Lord of hosts. How does the Lord use this book of remembrance? Well, He uses it, the beginning of verse 17, to declare that this believing remnant of Israel is His. He says, "They will be mine." You know, that is how the Lord guards His people. He says, "They're mine. They're mine. World, you cannot have them. Devil, you cannot have them. They're mine." So the Lord uses this book to declare that these believers are His. And He uses it still in verse 17 to declare that these believers will be His own possession on the day He begins His kingdom rule. This is speaking about the millennial kingdom. It says in verse 17, "On the day that I prepare my own possession." On that day, my own possession is the Lord's possession of the land of Israel. And there's no question that will be Messiah's when He comes. The land of Israel, it's His possession. But the word possession is fascinating. If perhaps you have a King James Version tonight, it doesn't say "my own possession." It says "my jewels." My jewels. The point is, believers are a treasure to the Lord. Yes, we've been learning in Ephesians, we have our inheritance in Christ, and that includes all those riches and treasures. But the Lord has His inheritance, and that is us as believers. We are His treasure. We are His jewels. his possession. And what a wonderful statement. And that will be the case on the day that he begins his kingdom rule. Again, glance ahead to chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 2, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you'll go forth and skip about like calves from the field. That is believing Israel in the millennial kingdom. And verse 3, you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. This day of preparing for his own possession is the day of the kingdom. Now, that's an important promise. And the Lord declares that. That's how the Lord uses this book. So, is this a book? Is the book of remembrance about those who are going to heaven? No. The book of remembrance is about those who will be in the millennial kingdom. And it is a book about Jewish believers who will be in the millennial kingdom. And the Lord uses this book, the end of verse 17, to declare that these will be spared from the day of the Lord, tribulation judgments. The end of verse 17, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Well, he will spare them from what? Glance to chapter 4, verse 1. The day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evil doer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will not leave them neither root nor branch. What happens to those defiant, to those who are arrogant? They will go through the tribulation, the day of the Lord, and they will be judged. Well, what happens to the believing remnant? They will be spared from that tribulation. You realize even Jewish believers in the tribulation period will be whisked away into the wilderness for protection, that even while the tribulation is going on all around them, they will be spared. Believing Israel will be spared. That is the point here. You know, I know you want to say, well, yeah, we'll be spared too because we'll be raptured out and we won't even be here for it. Well, yeah, of course, but that's not what Malachi is talking about. You know. Yes, that's true. But Malachi is talking about the sparing of Israel, believing Israel. So that very much gives us the context and tells us that this book of remembrance is the book that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 4:3 and that Daniel was talking about in Daniel 12:1. So that's how the Lord uses the book. Now verse 18, how does Israel use the book of remembrance? Verse 18, so you, the word you is referring to Israel. So you, Israel. Now, you can make application of this for yourself, but, you know, in the context, it's talking about Israel. You will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. Now, here's the point of verse 18. Israel's awareness that there is such a book as the Book of Remembrance motivates them to make distinctions. And that's very important. Their awareness that the Lord keeps records, and those records will be used for promise and blessing, reward on one hand in the coming kingdom, or those records will be used for judgment in the tribulation period for those who are not in this book of remembrance. An awareness that the Lord keeps records produces discernment. It does. For us, an awareness of the end times, an awareness that there is such a place coming at a future time called the Great White Throne Judgment, and people will be sentenced forever to the lake of fire from that judgment. The awareness of that ought to do something in you. The awareness that there is the judgment seat of Christ and records of what goes on in your life as a believer, and you will either be rewarded or you will suffer loss of reward, that ought to produce discernment in you. So this awareness causes Israel, believing Israel, in verse 18, to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. That is, between the saved and the unsaved. The point here is not that any Jew would go around, you know, lurking in the corners and spying on people to say, well, I'm going to see if you're saved or not. No. And you can't do that today because you don't know. You can't do that. But you should know it when you see it. Should know it when you're confronted with it. You should be aware when you're talking with someone, when you meet someone, are they saved or not? Now, you're not the Holy Spirit. You don't know everything, and so you can't always tell. But the point here is there is a discernment, a distinction that you should think about. You should. So many people just interact with others and never even bother to think at all. Is this person saved or not? They interact with others and never ask a heaven or hell question. They don't even think about it. The point here is there should be a distinction, and that believing Israel was to distinguish between the righteous, the justified, and the wicked. By the way, wicked in the Old Testament is always a description of unsaved people. So, to distinguish that, and the very end of verse 18, to distinguish between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. You know, what was going on throughout the book of Malachi? Were there people who were saying, oh yeah, we worship God, we serve God, yeah. And the Lord has said to them all throughout this book, no, you are profaning it. You're not really serving me. It's true today as well. There are those who say, I serve God, and they're not. There are those who say, I serve God, and they're not even saved at all. Say, but I do all of these wonderful things, and I even do them in the Lord's name. Remember, Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord says about those, depart from me, I never knew you. Say, well, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works, miracles, cast out demons, all that? The Lord says, I never knew you. You might have done those things, but you never believed. You never were saved, even though you might have done those things. So there's a distinction between the one who serves and the one who doesn't. Say, well, how do we make that distinction? Well, first of all, be serving yourself. And secondly, see who joins you. And the ones who don't probably are not serving the Lord, no matter how much they talk about it. They're probably not. So this book of remembrance is designed to motivate, just like our awareness of what's coming in the tribulation and the millennial kingdom and beyond at the great white throne judgment, all of that motivates us to be discerning and to wonder, is this person saved or not? Is this person really serving the Lord, or are they just talking? And so that kind of discernment is important, and that becomes, for Malachi, one of the great purposes of this whole prophecy. Why is the Lord saying all of this? Is it just that he's angry with the people who are messing it all up? No, he wants the people who are his and are fearing him and are serving him to be discerning in all of this. How important is that in the times you're living in right now? It's vitally important. Talk is everywhere. It's everywhere. Reality is scarce. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for this believing remnant. Lord, it's good to hear, and it's good to hear of your promises, and it's good to hear of what they look forward to in your coming kingdom, and it's good to be reminded of what we look forward to as well in your coming kingdom. And so, Lord, may this kind of discernment be ours this evening as well, as we seek to apply this day by day for ourselves and interact with others. Now, Lord, in this week to come, may there be opportunities like the believing Israelites had to speak to one another and to speak the message of the gospel to those who are to be saved. We give you, Lord, tonight our thanks for this. We do fear and honor your name, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.